Is AI going to be the death of accounting? Are we at the fork in the road where accountants finally become relevant and extinct, or is this going to be a whole new world with bright new opportunities? Jeff Seibert, you've got some answers for us. Where are we at?
Well, Rob, thank you so much for having me. AI is not going to be the death of accounting. Just like the calculator wasn't the death of accounting, the computer wasn't the death of accounting. It'll definitely change the type of work being done. I think it'll remove a lot of the tedium, a lot of the drudgery. It'll elevate the profession, allow you to spend more time with your clients, giving real actionable advice. But no, accountants aren't going anywhere and the profession's not going anywhere.
We get these phases, Jeff, where things come in like spreadsheets or cloud, are these new initiatives, and everyone thinks it's going to change the game, crypto and blockchain and all of these things, but nothing seems to change much. There has been a lot of buzz, though, about artificial intelligence. Is it the real deal, or is it just another little bump in the road?
What makes me so excited is that the AI wave is real. And I would draw a big distinction from crypto that we spent the past 5 years talking about, Bitcoin and so on. Unlike that, AI technology is real. The term, of course, is a marketing buzzword, but under the covers, it's all about machine learning, this new class of computer algorithms that allow computers to understand and basically learn how to solve problems on their own to achieve a goal state. And so what's great about it is, yes, the tech is real. It's moving very quickly. And I would compare it more to the rise of mobile, which I think did dramatically change the world, or the rise of the personal computer in the 90s, which did change the world. I think we're looking at something with that level of impact.
So I'm going to quote you, Jack Welch, former CEO of General Electric. He said, any idiot can make something more complex. If you're going to sell me an idea, tell me it like I'm 5 years old. Now, we've got accountants listening to this, thousands and thousands all over the world. And AI for some is great because they're techie and they're nerdy and they're all over that. But for others, they're absolutely scared stiff. And so explain AI and machine learning to us like we're 5 years old, Jeff. Let's get the basics right.
Yes, this is a great question. So the way you want to think about machine learning or AI is you are, instead of telling the computer what to do, and that's been the case for the past 3-4 decades, computer programmers basically type in instructions and the computer follows those instructions. Just like you might be giving someone directions on how to fold a paper airplane. Machine learning flips that on its head. Instead, you tell the computer the goal state. So it doesn't matter how you make your paper airplane. You'll say, I want this piece of paper to fly 100 yards. And now the computer is trying to figure out how to do that. And the way it does that is it very rapid fire tries many, many, many things, and it grades itself on each of those attempts. And of course, some are terrible and some are better. And it starts honing in on the ones that are better and better and better and better until eventually it's come up with how to fold a paper airplane all by itself. And so that's what's happening within these models, billions upon billions of calculations. They're very, very quickly learning how to achieve a better result. And so this is what's called the training sort of method. So they're training these models. And when you go play with ChatGPT and you ask it a question and it writes an answer, it's writing English or a response to you based on its training because it was taught that that's what good English looks like.
That's really well explained. And as a former high school math teacher, it was my job too to make the complex understandable. Now you've got a background in computer science, so we appreciate you dumbing it down. But what can these models really do, Jeff? What's possible here?
Yeah, it's a really great question. So there are two major branches of machine learning, and I don't think enough people are sort of fully understanding the differences. So the branch that's gotten all the hype is what's called generative models. And so this is ChatGPT. GPT actually stands for a generative pre-trained transformer. So it's right there in the name. And these models, you are giving it a prompt and it is generating a response based on what are the most likely words to extend that prompt, right? And so if you gave it the quick brown fox, it would complete that sentence quite likely. And what you need to think about here is these models aren't really thinking. It's completely just generating the next word. And so what's really interesting is if you ask this model a very easy question or a very hard question, today it actually uses the exact same amount of CPU power, the same amount of energy to generate an answer because it's not really thinking. And of course, there's a lot of development happening to try to improve that and make these smarter and smarter.
But if it's not thinking, Jeff, why do we call it artificial intelligence? Because intelligence implies some kind of sentient presence, and it is thinking and processing and iterating.
Yes, this is why I would say AI today is largely a marketing term. It is hype. It is getting people excited about the future potential.
We're being sold a bill of goods, are we?
Sorry?
We're being sold a bill of goods.
You are being sold a bit today. I would say this tech has real potential and real power.
All right.
And just to highlight, the other branch of machine learning is what's called predictive models. And these can be extremely accurate and very good. And so the way to think about this is bucketing things. So to bring it back to accounting, you have an inbound bank transaction. Is this meals? Is this travel? Is this office supplies? You can use predictive models to do that, and it can be highly, highly accurate.
If we look at what's really possible with these things, if you say accounting is not going to be extinct, then there's still going to be a role. But from what I can gather, AI is now passing CPA and chartered accountancy qualifications. It's now doing audits. It's now doing a lot of the complex work, and 90% of the compliance that accountants are known for. Am I exaggerating that, or is that really the case?
Yes and no. It has passed some CPA exams. There's questions on, like, it was pre-trained on the answers and so on. So, like, how much did it really think about itself? But I do think a lot of those types of work will be done by AI, will be done by computers, because even if you step back and generalize it, computers are exceptional at doing math and exceptional at doing the same task millions of times without complaining, right? And so if you have a rule set that the computer can follow or a large enough data set that it can train on and mimic, the computer's going to be very good at that. What it's not going to be good at is understanding the context of each client, of each business, right, of like, what makes this one special? Why would they be doing something differently? What business decision are they trying to make? That's the whole area that accountants are going to have a long career in.
How impacted is accounting by this compared to other sectors, Jeff? You have a wide look at many different industries. Are we getting more scared or hyped up than most, or is it affecting everyone?
It is certainly affecting everyone. It's amazing how many of my good friends who are programmers, who are software engineers, are terrified that the AI is going to start writing code better than they do. And it's the same thing today. It's not the case. There are AIs that write code, but when you start studying the code, it's actually pretty bad. But there is a world where they will get pretty good at writing code. You've already seen a lot of disruption in copywriting and marketing because AIs can write blog posts very quickly. And so I'd say accounting is one of the industries that'll be impacted, but it's by no means the like most impacted. And there's a lot of complex dynamics in accounting that it'll take a while for the AIs to really understand.
So in your world, do you deal exclusively with accountants? And if so, why? What interests you about that?
So I started this company, Digits, 6 years ago with the goal of building a modern accounting platform. I had no background in finance or accounting or anything. My interest in sort of my career has been software engineering and tech startups. And before Digits, I was really struck as sort of in my previous company by the difference in data we had on the product side. We had Google Analytics, A/B testing tools, real-time logs, all these performance analytics, and we knew exactly who was using our product at any given moment. And then on the finance side, literally, I was stuck waiting 2 to 3 weeks for a black and white P&L and balance sheet and so on. And it just blew my mind. And so we started Digits with the very simple premise of, can we make accounting real-time and intuitive for entrepreneurs? And of course, that was 6 years ago. It's been a long journey. But we have built sort of this ground up accounting platform that allows you to very quickly model the data, very quickly graph anything you want, see very interactive live reports. And so that's been the passion for me. I'm like, how do we make all this sort of arcane finance data super intuitive for folks?
You mentioned the word data there. Nothing excites accountants more than data to a degree, because they're very analytical, they're very technical, they're super smart people, and they are comfortable with that world. However, nobody has more data than accountants, surely. There is so much that they have to process. I read a stat somewhere that the average accountant needs about 100 different softwares and apps to deal with various kinds of clients. It could be a lot more. So there's an overwhelm of data. How do they even make sense of that without something like AI?
This is the challenge. And the fact that the data is so fragmented between all these different apps, all these different financial institutions.
It's so disparate, isn't it?
Exactly. And of course, within the US, we don't even have open banking laws. So the banks don't have APIs. You're stuck scraping the data or trying to export it or download it to CSV. And so I do think actually accounting is a big data problem. And that's actually part of my passion. My background, my previous company was entirely in big data. And so we developed a lot of techniques on how to process and standardize that data at scale, because unless you can combine it and compare it, not even just within one client or business, but across clients and businesses to try to learn from it and make meaning, you're completely stuck. And so that's why I think it is so exciting to be in the accounting industry right now, because the power of this software to really help you better understand the data is just going to be unbounded.
I hear stories of accountants still being in shoeboxes and Excel spreadsheets and processing paper receipts. You talk about open banking there, a delay in the tide coming in, if you like, trying to hold back the waters and hold back innovation. So how realistic is it to expect that accountants will be jumping on board with AI, given even clouds had really slow adoption?
Totally. It's definitely going to be a long transition. It'll take many years. I do think the benefits of AI are potentially even more impactful to margins than the cloud was, because you could use QuickBooks Desktop, you can use it on the cloud, that probably helped collaboration, but it didn't really change the work that much. And I think AI does, particularly sort of in the bookkeeping realm, dramatically change the work. And so you'll see firms start adopting this technology way faster than they did the cloud transition. But it goes back to the underlying data for me. What's crazy is the banking systems weren't designed with accountants in mind. They're great at recording the date the transaction happened and the amount of the transaction and everything else you care about, who it was with, what you bought, why it was purchased, which employee made the purchase, is all crammed into a little description string in the center. So it's, if you go back and look at the history of banking mainframes, it is amazing how poorly designed it was.
When we look at the, let's call it the drudgery of accounting, not to be disparaging, because this is their bread and butter. This is their world. It's what they've done for thousands of years, and bookkeepers do a really important job. But there is a lot of tedium in here. There is a lot of monotony and a lot of automatable tasks. Talk to us about how they're changing.
Well, if you look at it, and I don't mean to be insulting in this description at all, I deeply respect the work.
Sure.
A lot of bookkeeping is basically recreating a historical record of financial activity that already happened. And right, like the money already moved. Why wasn't it contemporaneously self-documented? And so one of the most interesting aspects to me is, can there be a new sort of breed of financial institutions, of expense cards, of bill pay products, of invoicing products that actually document as the transaction is taking place? And that would solve a lot of the drudgery, I think. And when I talk with accountants and bookkeepers, and we work with thousands of them at Digits, none of them are particularly enjoying that process, right? They enjoy the client interaction and giving the advice and being a mentor. They don't enjoy sitting there and coding transactions.
That is a good point. If we look at the talent problems in accounting, part of the problem is that we don't paint it as a very attractive profession.
Right.
I've heard anecdotal stories about people going into schools and saying, what do you think an accountant does? And they say, some boring job with numbers tied to a desk for years in a dark room with computer screens. And that's not really selling the accountant's role, is it? It's much more exciting than that. So if we are going to, let's speak to talent for a moment. How exciting is this for the new generation coming through, Jeff, who we know are tech savvy?
Exactly. I think this could be a potential huge wave for the profession, because you're right. They have this perception when you're in high school or when you're in university, you have this perception that accounting is sort of quite dull. You're sitting there just like doing math and like that's a little tedious. And there's more exciting jobs out there. If we refocus the story on the value you're bringing, on the sort of how critical this is to all of these businesses, in the US alone, there's 30 million small businesses. Like, you need to help all of these founders, business owners, better run, better grow their business, et cetera. That's a fantastic profession. And I think the technology will allow the focus to move away from the drudgery and towards the real customer value that you're delivering. And that's a far more inspiring story for students.
We'll all be familiar with the general distribution curve. I was a former high school maths teacher, so I get some of the mathematics. But we get this sense of early adopters and late adopters and laggards and everything else. If we look at accountants as a breed, they like a few shiny new toys. Yep. But as a cohort, as a species, they are generally late to the market. They want to see how things pan out. When you talk to them, Jeff, what is the excitement for this and the take up, the adoption, people willing to roll their sleeves up and say, hey, this is new, let's get stuck in?
Yeah, it definitely, as you say, it's a full bell curve. We've talked with people all across the spectrum.
Yeah.
Accountants, I'd say definitely as a profession, tend to be more risk averse, but that's good given the profession and the importance of the work. What I've been really interested by is the level of excitement we're seeing. And I think actually the broader just sort of consumer hype around AI has helped that a lot, because accountants are seeing it on TikTok or online or playing with ChatGPT, and they're curious of how they might be able to apply this to work. And so that's driving a lot of interest in what we're building. And again, so we have over 1,500 firms using Digits. They've been overjoyed, and like, we've gotten tremendous feedback. So I do think there is a good portion of the market that's ready and excited to try out these new tools.
Let's talk about this feedback that you're getting. What is Digits and this technology able to do that makes my life easier as an accountant or a bookkeeper?
Yeah, great question. So we have stuff we've released already and then things coming soon. The big stuff we've shipped already really dramatically improves the transaction review and reporting process with your clients. So when you're going through, you're trying to close the month, you have a bunch of transactions you don't have enough context on, you need to ask your client. The traditional approach has been export them to Excel, send your client a spreadsheet, try to nag them to give you answers, very tedious. We have a fully productized transaction review experience. You just comment on the transaction, goes to your client, they can respond. They don't need an account or password or anything. It's very simple.
Is that AI, Jeff, or is that just good tech?
Well, this is good tech. This is what I'm saying. So the AI is the next bit. So what we are actively working on and rolling out later this year is AI bookkeeping. Our latest models are 87% accurate. And so we've spent years training these models on full double entry accounting across hundreds of millions of real small business transactions. And the models now can do 87% of them correctly. And that's huge. If you can eliminate 80 to 90% of the bookkeeping labor, that saves you a ton of time, allows you to take on more clients, make your firm more efficient, et cetera, et cetera. The great thing about these models is they also have a confidence interval. So the model has a sense of when it's right and when it's wrong.
Wow.
And that means you're not stuck reviewing 100% of its work either. It knows when you should trust it. And so for the ones it's high confidence on, we'll be able to immediately book those straight to the ledger. For the ones that AI is low confidence on, we actually throw it out because we don't want to take any risks. We don't want to make mistakes in booking things. And so those are the 13% we surface to you, and then you can go through, ask your clients for the ones you need input on, make decisions yourself if you know them, and it speeds up the whole process.
I've seen something like that, Jeff, with email predictors. Where you can go on LinkedIn and get some plugins that will guess at somebody's email, and it gives you a degree of confidence because it looks at prefix and suffix and surnames and URLs and things like that. And it will flag up those ones that these are the ones we think are pretty accurate and these are not. Is it something like that you're talking about?
It is something like that. It's probably a little more sophisticated.
I didn't want to downgrade what you were doing there. There's a whole lot of science behind your tech. I know.
Yeah, we've spent, again, my passion is computer science. We've spent 5 years training models on 100 million transactions to really get the debits and credits right. So we're super excited to bring this out to market.
One of the things you speak about in your thought leadership, and you put a lot of great stuff out there, Jeff, is a term, collaborative finance, multiplayer and single player workflow. It sounds interesting. Run it past us, like we're 5 years old.
Yes, this is great. So I started my career, now it's been almost 20 years, which is scary, but I started my career at Apple as an engineer. And it really got ingrained in me in how you focus on sort of consumer grade, super easy to use, elegant software. And that's what we're trying to bring to the accounting industry. What struck me is if you look at QuickBooks, if you look at Xero, and I mean, let alone NetSuite and Oracle, they're very single player experiences. You log in as the accountant and you're doing work, but your client isn't in there with you. And in fact, most accountants we speak with don't want their client in QuickBooks because they don't know what they might change or edit. There might be a mistake. It's a whole nightmare. What we have done is we've designed Digits from the ground up to be collaborative. And so you can share the reports. You can share the transactions you have questions on. You can comment back and forth. You can control their permissions so the client can't edit something if you don't want them to. And that allows you to both be in the same experience together. So all the context is there and you're not falling back to email and Excel spreadsheets and whatever it might be that wastes time. And so it's really this collaborative dynamic that I think the web has been so powerful at on the design side, on the writing side with Google Docs, and it's never yet come to accounting. And so we're bringing that mindset to accounting.
Are we trying to turn accountants into geeks and nerds? I appreciate that these days tech is driving the way accountants being done. However, very few accountants want to write code. They need to know how to do more than turn a computer on and off, for sure. They need to know the way around certain apps and software. However, they don't want to do a degree in computer science and they don't want to get knee deep in all of the stuff that you're doing. So when you talk to them, what is their appetite for the tech side of this, Jeff?
Yeah, that's where the Apple mindset comes in, because I could not agree with you more. There is no need for you to go out and learn how to program. There's no need for these super complex interfaces. If anything, I think the software can be more elegant and simpler. If you look at even QuickBooks and Xero, like, it's a pretty complicated piece of software. And that's why it takes so much training time to ramp up folks who are new to the field. I think we can do even better than that. And so, yes, this is not about turning accountants into geeks. This is about giving them the tools and capabilities that I think have been lacking in the industry.
Yeah. Let's call out some of the vendors here, Jeff. You took part recently in our 5 questions for the Accounting World project, which is now the Accounting Answers podcast, and they're coming out live every day. We asked 110 influencers 5 questions. One of them was, what could the tech software vendors do better to serve accountants? One of the things I see a lot in the marketing of tech products to accountants is this is AI driven. This is AI integrated.
Yeah.
What do they really mean by that? Is it actually that?
It's largely not. Yes,
that's unexpected.
So there's, of course, pros and cons to the hype wave. And the downside to the hype wave is every single software vendor on earth has integrated AI into their project. And what they mean by that usually is they've done a very lightweight integration with ChatGPT. And they've sent some data there and they have some sort of chatbot window, and maybe it's helpful or maybe it's not. The big concern I have with that is most of these people are not really thinking through the security and how they're protecting the client's data. And I've seen a lot of online demos of like, oh, look, ChatGPT can write up my whole P&L. Well, how? Okay, well, we just gave it all of the raw transactions. That's a huge security risk. And so as you're speaking with software vendors, I would not be afraid to get pretty blunt and ask them what they're doing for security, how they lock down the data, how it's encrypted, sort of et cetera, et cetera. It is not easy to do correctly. And so we have spent years building a secure architecture where we use a lot of these models. OpenAI and GPT never see any of our customers' raw data. Everything is encrypted in our system. And you have to be really intentional about how you design and build this software to do it the right way.
I've heard horror stories too about when you throw some data or client information into ChatGPT, then that's in the public domain. Is that the case?
That is true. So if you go and use ChatGPT on the web and paste data in, they will explicitly use that data to train on. Hmm. And so you don't want to do that. There are, of course, ways to do it with their API where the data is secure. But I would be very careful about what you're copying and pasting in.
When you talk to accounting firms, there's a whole swathe of personalities in there, complex emotions. People are real advocates for tech. Maybe some of them more senior, older partners are laggards on this.
Yep.
How do you drive change to get them to adopt stuff and even try stuff, Jeff?
Yeah, that is a really great question. And honestly, that is one of the challenges. I think we've been really focused on identifying like who are the sort of tech forward change drivers, more like risk-taking early adopters within firms.
Yeah,
and
the champions.
Them are champions.
So let's wrap all of this up, Jeff. What does cutting edge look like today? You're at the bleeding edge of what's going on, but we know there's going to be some kind of delays. But what does cutting edge look like for you?
I'll share something we just rolled out into our Digits production. So the cutting edge of machine learning right now, so the cutting edge of AI is called self-critical autonomous agents. And what these are is they basically are computer bots, they're programs that run in a loop. And so you give it a goal state and then you ask it, what do you want to try first? And then you say, okay, great, go do it. And then after it did it, you ask it, how was that? What went well and what went wrong? Literally. And by asking the AI what went wrong, you then ask it, okay, well, what did you learn from that? And what should you do next? And so that's what I mean by when I say self-critical agents. You get this agent to criticize itself on every step. And through that, you can actually have these programs do relatively complex tasks very, very well. And so to make it a concrete example, what we are using it for at Digits is, let's say you have an inbound transaction and your client spent money at a new vendor, new shop you have never heard of, right? Happens all the time. You look at the credit card statement, you have no idea what that is.
Yeah.
Instead of spending your time going out and Googling it and whatever, why can't we have a computer Google it? And so that's exactly what we do. So for novel vendors, we have an agent running where it goes and researches that vendor, locates their website, finds their contact information, writes a description about them by summarizing their whole website, and goes and finds their logo. So now within the product, when you see the transaction feed, it's all pre-populated with their name, logo, contact info, everything you need to classify the transaction.
It's frightening stuff. And I know you're a big proponent of real-time accounting, Jeff. You're pushing this out. You want it all to happen and get away from this historical focus and let's start looking forward. What does real-time accounting look like in your view?
Yes. Fantastic question. And this is probably my bias as a programmer. I want to see all the data live in the moment, which is I want to see real-time spend. What are the balances in my bank account right now? What are all the latest transactions? What is my current budget through the month, mid-month? I really want to do away with this whole concept of reconciling budgets to actuals. The actuals should just be the real-time budget, right? Like you set budget limits and they just count towards it as the transactions happen. And so that's what we're really pushing for, to try to use computers to, again, do 87, 90% of the work. You'll bring in the review step with the client, the advice and all of that, but try to give them as much real-time data as possible. And that's something that I think the door is being open to with this new world of technology.
Yeah. Jeff, this has been great. It's a wonderful tour into what's coming up and what's happening right now. Give us a message of hope to leave us with that excites the accounting profession about the possibilities here. What would you say to our audience?
Yeah, this is a new tool. It's not something to be scared of. It's the same thing as the personal computer or the calculator or the smartphone. None of those eliminated industries. If anything, they increase the demand, right? Because more people are starting businesses, more people have opened all these questions and so on. So my advice would be the only people who are going to be disrupted by AI are the sort of late adopters, the people who push back and don't want to try anything. My advice would be simply start experimenting. Try some of these new tools with a handful of your clients that maybe are more tech forward and see what you think, see what time savings you get, and see how you can evolve your practice. Because I think done well, this just has a massive opportunity to allow you to serve more clients, increase your margins, grow your business, and you'll be way happier and less stressed by the tedium.
That's superb. Jeff Seibert, thank you so much for your time and your insights today.
Thank you so much. This was super fun.